Thank you, Pastor Ben. Fantastic. It's a brand new day. Can you say amen? Yeah, brand new day this year. And we're looking at this as a brand new day because of all of the things that God wants to do in our lives. And as I mentioned last week, there's a huge poster, whatever you want to call it, design that's up above those doors right there, and it's our theme scripture for the year, and it talks about the deep things that God wants to do in our life. So that's where we are, that's where we're at. It is a new day, and I love it. Now, last week we talked about how big God is. You remember that? Remember saying God is big? How many of you remember this? Yes, I hope you do. Say it for me today. God is big. Well, that was pretty good. One more time. God is big. God is big. And because he is big, that means that he can handle anything in our lives. So I want to just quickly go over some of the characteristics that God has. We talked about his attributes last week, so I'm just going to run through those really fast, okay? The first one is that God is good. God is holy and just. God is love. God is powerful, God cares about you, and God is big. So the attributes of God, and as we talked about last week, we could spend a lifetime seeking after God and still only scratch the surface of comprehending the depth of God. And I think if you've been a Christian very long, you've probably found that out. That as you continue in your life and you continue in your walk with God, that the more you get to know him, the deeper he is. And the deeper it goes, and the deeper it goes, and the deeper it goes. And he's wonderful and beautiful and awesome. And this awesome God actually cares about you. And he cares about me. And that is incredible. So I want to jump to a different subject, but one that is linked forever with our understanding of the character of God. And I'm going to present the case today that really this is the most important question for every human being. And that question is, who am I? Who am I? And along with this question comes these questions. Why am I here? What is my purpose? Have you ever asked those questions? I bet you have, because every person that ever lives has to answer that in some degree. We have all different kinds of people, all different kinds of intellect, that kind of a thing, but every individual has to figure out, who am I? And what in the world am I doing here? I asked those questions, and it drove me to the point of absolute fear. What am I doing here? Why am I breathing? Why am I alive? Do I just live and then die? Is that what happens? And that would just scare me like nothing else. And I had no answer for that early in my life. And I kept asking those questions. Who am I? And without God, this has been and always will be a strong dilemma for the human race. And I'd have to say that with our declining moral culture that we're in, and it's been this way for quite some time, it didn't all of a sudden go here. It's just consistently degraded into a moral culture that isn't quite what God would have envisioned for us. And so that question, who am I, is in the forefront of many people's minds today. And one of the real problems begins with the fact that many are saying that there's no absolute truths. And I want to talk about that just for a little bit. There's no absolute truths. Now, one thing I've always said before I get into this is, well, there are things that you know are absolute truths. I can say that if somebody has a 2x4 and I can say, I don't believe because it's my truth and I don't believe it, that that's going to hurt when you hit me with that. I'm going to say, if you do hit me with that 2x4, I will feel it That is the truth. And there's no way around it. I can believe something else, and I can have an opinion about something else, but that's the truth. And so if you believe there's no absolute truths, then that means that there's no foundation for us to stand on. There's nothing to refer to when we think of our lives and who we are. So then what do? We come up with our own truths. And you hear it all the time. Find your own truth. Come up with your own truth. Find out what your truth is. We hear that all the time, especially today. And that sounds so great. It sounds so fulfilling. You know, you just need to find your own truth. So basically, we're winging it. We're trying to figure it out on our own. And where are we looking for those answers? Well, I want to draw on a couple of sources today of some things that I read, and I just think they're very insightful. One is from the webpage Got Questions. This webpage, just so you know, if you ever go there, they draw from lots of pastors, youth pastors, lay leaders sometimes, and they just have a really... I've just really enjoyed their how they break down these questions that we have in life. They do a nice job. So anyway, from Got Questions, this is a little bit long, so hang with me. The phrase, live your truth, is used as an affirming encouragement for people to accept and openly express themselves authentically. It follows the words of Ralph Waldo Emerson, to be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment. The overall message of Live Your Truth is to not let society's norms and expectations influence and overwhelm you. The message is a noble one on the surface, of course. We should resist negative peer pressure and be steady in ourselves. However, as commonly applied, live your truth largely ignores the teachings of the Bible. For one thing, live your truth implies that each person has his or her own truth deep within that must be discovered and lived out. One person's truth may differ from another's. This is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches there is just one truth. John 17:17 says, God's word is truth, and Jesus asserts that he himself is the way, the truth, and the life. Thus, there is not your truth or my truth. There is just the truth, the word, the person of Jesus. That's what the Bible teaches. So those who tout the live your truth mindset generally urge you to accept yourself, sins and all, although sin is not usually a word that they use. The idea is that you are who you are, and you can't help it. So you should not succumb to societal pressure to be something else. This mentality can excuse many sins and character flaws as innate and inescapable. If a woman wants to express herself in shockingly immodest clothing style, she should live her truth and embrace that as part of who she is. If a man feels like venting his emotions with a string of obscenities, he should live his truth and let the words fly. To live your truth is to live guilt-free while doing what brings you happiness, not letting anyone influence the authentic self. A woman who feels that she is actually a man needs to live her truth and become a man, and no one can tell her that the feeling is not real because it is her truth. But truth is not subjective. Just a little bit more here. It's not dependent on what is known, felt, or experienced by any particular person. It can't be molded and shaped into a personalized form to suit us. People who speak of my truth and your truth are more accurately referencing my opinion or your opinion. Truth can have different interpretations, and people can see truth from different perspectives, but there remains only one truth. So in essence, there really is no such thing as your own truth. There is only the truth and your opinion. I like that. Makes a lot of sense to me. So figuring it out on our own, yet being affected and influenced, even seduced by what other people think. And it's never been easier to be influenced by what others say or think. We have this beautiful yet simultaneously ugly place that we call social media. This has become quite a thing in our life, hasn't it? And I'm just going to read briefly from a Focus on the Family article that was written by a young girl. Her name is Regan Scott, and she speaks about the Gen Z age group, and this is 11 to 26. That's not me. I know you thought it might be me, but it's not me. Yes. And some of the challenges that she found, and she says this: social media plays a big role in how Gen Z acts, how they think and behave. As for me, I used to base my interests off what was trending on TikTok. Okay? Now, I don't really look at TikTok myself, but I know lots of people who do, mostly younger people. But our culture today can easily become so wrapped up in fitting in with the crowd that we can completely miss out on the importance of the gospel. That's what she says. Now, if you're older than 26 and you aren't sure about your identity, about who you are, don't feel alone. Every living person must decide this at some point. And without the right foundation or plumb line, something to go from, you know, it's going to be a difficult road. And, you know, when I think about following the crowd, I remember when I was in school. Yes, I was young once. When I was in school, there was the whole thing about fitting in with the crowd. I think everybody has to deal with that, whether you're going to do it, whether you're not going to do it. We had all the different, groups of people, you know, whether that was the nerds who back then were sort of the outcasts. Now they're the ones with all the money. They're not the outcasts anymore. Anyway, you know, then there was the sports guys and the people in band and all these different groups and the crowd you were in and wanting to fit in. But really, you thought more about your circle. But today, it's not like that. I mean, there is that, your circle, but now there's thousands of people that you are looking to on social media, especially if you're a young person, that's what you're looking at. And so this is the crowd. This is who you're trying to figure it all out. Who am I? That kind of thing. So without God, you know, there becomes no moral ground. It's kind of what you figure out and what you think is going to be good for your life and for others around you and how you think about them. So what we end up with is figuring out who we are based on gathering all this information from a myriad of resources. And we decide, okay, after looking at everything, and I have access to everything, this is who I've decided to be. You figured it out. Well, let's take a look at what the Bible offers for our identity, okay? This is what the Bible offers. It paints a rich picture of our identity. This identity is in Christ, offering comfort, purpose, and belonging. It's awesome. And before I get into that, now, most of you, I'm sort of speaking to the choir. You've had to decide for your own life who you are. You've had to decide, where am I going to get my moral compass? Where am I going to get right and wrong? And so you've figured that out. Most of you have decided that it's through the Word of God and Jesus Christ. But for some people, they're still trying to figure that out because they can go, well, maybe. Maybe that's it. That's what I did. I was like, well, door number one, door number two, door number three. Let's make a deal. If I pick the right one, then great. And that's it. And it's up to me to figure it out and to choose. But the Bible says something else. Romans 10:9 says this, and I'm going to kind of walk us through what the Bible teaches about who we are. It says this, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay, have you done this? Have you recognized Jesus is in charge of your life? Have you decided this? Do you believe from the heart that God raised Jesus from the dead? Because if you have, and you've talked to God and told him that, then you are saved. That's what the Bible says. And if you haven't, well, today's your day. Today's your day. So what does this have to do with who I am? Well, this is where we start. This is where we start, because once we have Jesus living in our heart and we believe that God raised him from the dead, see, then this Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, comes to live within you. And that's the starting point. And then, wow, then it gets really exciting. Super exciting. So, but we have to start there, okay? So as a Christ follower, this is what I am. This is what I become. The first thing is, I am an adopted child of God. I'm no longer an outsider. You're adopted into God's family, becoming his child, and you inherit his promises. So that's the biggest one, is to realize this is who you are. I am a child of God. But the only way you can really know that is if you accept the fact that Jesus Christ lived, died, rose again for your sins, and you ask him to come into your life, because that's not just a good idea, okay? That goes right to the heart, and he changes how you even see the world. He changes that, not because of what everybody else says, not because of what everybody on social media says. It's because that's who God is, and he wants to make himself known to you. Awesome. Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. You are a child of God, first and foremost. And when you start there, that's the greatest revelation that a human being can have, is that you are God's child, because everything flows from that, okay? I am chosen and loved, okay? You are not an accident or a mistake. God deliberately chose you and loves you unconditionally. And you think, well, how can I know that? How can I know that he chose me? I thought I chose him. God seeks after you. Now, isn't that fantastic? That he's been seeking you. He chose you. That means that he looks through all of humanity, and he's huge. You know, we talked about how big God is. And he knows every hair in your head, the Bible says. He knows everything about you. He created you. And he said, I want this one. I want this one. I want this person with all of their weaknesses, all of their faults. That's what he did. I love this. Ephesians 1, 4, and 5. Even as he chose us in him, before the foundation of the world. Think about that. Now, see, that fact is going to affect other choices you make. That this didn't happen after you were born or when you were born. He chose us. He chose you before the foundation of the world, the Bible says. that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. What a great idea and truth is that God chose you before the foundation of the world, before he did any of that. He chose you. And I don't know, that in and of itself, before I even go any further, that changes your life. That changes how you look at your entire life. Okay? You're pretty fantastic. You are. But it's not because of your talents. It's not because of how smart you are. It's not your intelligence. It's not anything like that. It's because God says so. God says so. So you're pretty great. I mean, you know, you get too mad at somebody, think about it for a second, because God thinks they're pretty great, okay? So there must be something pretty great in there, okay? All right, number three is that you're forgiven and redeemed. Through Christ's sacrifice, you are forgiven of your sins and reconciled to God. So Colossians 2 says this, you were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins, all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. What a great picture. So when you see the cross, some people don't like to look at the cross. There are religions that don't want to look at the cross. Oh, but the cross is, to me, you know, this was said the other day, that the cross is in some ways horrific, but for me, it is the most beautiful thing that there's ever been, because that means that my sins and your sins were nailed to that cross. I don't know how that worked. I don't know how that happened. God is a mystery, but that's what the Bible says, and that's pretty great. You might have heard, you know, the Bible is, well, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. Well, there's things in life that we should do, but the bottom line is that God has done so much for us. So the least we could do is live for him. All right. The next one is, da-da-da-da. And I just lost my notes. There we are. The next one is, go ahead and put that up there on the screen, is I am a new creation. Through faith in Christ, you are transformed into a new being, free from the old sinful nature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So that means, when you hear the words born again, in the world, a lot of the time it has a bad connotation, but that's because people slam Christianity and that kind of a thing. But what born again means is that God has caused you to be born again in the Spirit, in the Spirit. So you are a new creation. So if any of you were like me and your lives were a complete and utter mess, and you accepted Christ, and suddenly, I mean, just like that, you didn't live it all, but boy, you could see it. Just like that. And I mean, it just blew my mind. It was like, oh, wow, almost everything I've been doing is wrong. And I didn't even see it. But see, you're a new creation. That means that the Holy Spirit has come inside of you and caused that regeneration. And you literally have become a new creation. How great is that? Everybody say amen. All right, number five. Yes, I belong to the body of Christ. Boy, I could go a long time on this one, but I'm only going to go a little bit. You are a part of a global community of believers united by shared faith and purpose. Romans 12, 4 and 5 says, for as in one body we have many members, see, all of us, many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. This is so important. I am privileged to have the viewpoint, and I refer to it all the time, and if you get tired of it, I'm sorry, but I am privileged to be able to say, I had no clue about the body of Christ before I became a Christian and what it means. And I had my little group of friends. There was probably 20 or 30 of us that hung out together when I had a band and all of that. And so I had this little group of people, and sometimes they turned on you, sometimes they didn't, sometimes I turned on them. When I became a Christian, see, all of a sudden, and it was for me instant, as soon as I became around Christians, I was like, I had this instant, you know what I know. You know the truth. You know it. You know what I mean? Now people who had been Christians, like who had been born in the church and raised in the church, they, some of them looked at me like, take it easy, man, you know. But I didn't see why I should. We know. You know the secret that Jesus Christ saved us and that we get to go to heaven and you're going to go with me. Isn't that fantastic? And I practically shook people. Yes. I worked at a restaurant when I got saved, and my band had disbanded, and so I had to work. And so I was at a restaurant, and boy, nobody wanted to take their breaks with me because I was going to tell them about Jesus. And I'd say, look, you know me. You know I'm not crazy. You know that I wouldn't tell you something that wasn't true. And about this time, they'd start to back up out of the break room. So anyway, I had to learn how to kind of, well, you might be excited about it, Roger, but there's ways to share it, okay? But anyway, belonging to the body of Christ is just so important. And what I want to say, too, some of you who maybe you're watching online and there's no way for you to get here, and God bless you, we want you to watch online. There's lots of you. Each week, we have about 150 to 200 people that are watching online. And that's at the minimum. Those don't count people who watch later in the week, okay? So this is the way it is, especially since COVID. And so I just want to say, if you are able to come to church, I would encourage you to do so because it's so important. It's not just exciting that we can be brothers and sisters, because that's what we are in Christ, but it so helps us to grow as people because something happens. We're human beings. We make wrong decisions. We say things we shouldn't say. We do things we shouldn't do. We make mistakes. Sometimes we sin. But you know, the healthiest thing is when you're around your brothers and sisters in Christ, and when you could get offended, you don't. And you say, you know what? I love you. You're my brother or my sister. And I just flat love you. And I don't want you to be upset with me. I don't know why you did what you did. Maybe we need to talk about it. But I love you. And when we begin to do this, see, we become stronger and stronger and stronger. But if we isolate ourselves, we become weaker and weaker and weaker. Because we don't have one another. Yes. Because we don't have one another to make us strong, okay? You're cheating yourself if you stay by yourself. All right. Number 6, I am purposeful and gifted. God has equipped you with unique gifts and talents to serve him and others. So Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So you might be thinking to yourself today, I don't know what my purpose is. I mean, maybe I have accepted Christ in my life, but I really don't know what I'm supposed to do. Listen, we all have to go through that in our life too, as far as finding out, you know, what we're supposed to do, maybe for a job or whatever it is. But the Bible's very clear of what God expects of us. He has all kinds of good things for you to do. And if you follow the Lord and listen to what he says, they're good things. They're good things. They're things that help other people. It's always about helping somebody else. And when we do that, we're going to find, oh, wow, I feel really good now. Why is that? Because that's how God made you to be, is to help somebody else and to get our minds off of ourselves so we're not walking around like this, but we're lifting up our head, seeing who's around me? Who's around me? Who can I help? Who can I help? God has all kinds of wonderful things for you to do. Joe, I'm going to ask you to come wherever you are and just kind of play a little bit. Number 7, I have hope in eternal life. So this isn't so much who you are, but this is what you get. And this is about the best thing you could get, is not only hope, but you get to live forever. Really? I get to live forever? Yeah, it's true. In Christ, you have the hope of eternal life and the promise of a future free from suffering and death. So we have John 11:25-26. This is fantastic. One of my favorite portions of Scripture. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. If you want to find eternal life, it's right here. It's not anywhere else. It's not Muhammad. It's not Buddha. It's not any one of a number of people that you may think, well, they lived good lives. They did this, they did that. The one person who was sinless was Jesus Christ. And that's who we find our hope in. And that's who gives us eternal life. You know, something I was going to say tonight, but I'm just going to say this now. We've lost a lot of people this year, people that have went to be with Jesus. And, you know, that's always extremely difficult for a family. And it's hard for the church, too, because we're family. And, you know, there's times when I went, you know, I'll be on the golf course and I'll think, I don't get to listen to my friend DJ give me a hard time. But thank God there's eternal life. Because then I can know he's having a great time. And I'll see him again. I was thinking of my dad the other day. I was driving around on my truck. And I was driving slow, just like my dad used to always do. With his hand out the window like this, you know. And he would just kind of, my dad was a stop and smell the roses kind of guy. And my dad, he didn't live the most, not to say, moral life at times. But in the end, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. So I know I'll see my dad again. Eternal life, it gives us incredible hope. So remember, I started out this conversation with who God is. Now, if God has all these wonderful things and he cares about you, you can know exactly who you are. You can know. And when you know that you are a child of God, that just begins such a marvelous adventure for you. You're going to find out so many neat things about God, about what he wants for your life. And you know what else it gives you? Confidence. Confidence. Now, I don't always have confidence. It depends on what I'm doing. But somebody said to me the other day, you know, you feel good in your own skin. There's only one reason I do. And that's because of Jesus. That's because I know who he is, and I don't need to prove it to anybody. Because I know what he thinks of me. And so, yeah, there's things in life where you might feel a little insecure, but overall, you can have confidence. Confidence not in how great you are, except for Christ, but confidence in that you're a child of God. God loves you, and he wants the best for you, and he wants you to make a difference in people around you. It's pretty simple. Pretty simple. Well, I would be remiss if I didn't ask for a response when we're talking about who we are. I'd just like you all to bow your heads for just a little bit, not for a long time. And I just want to ask this question. Is there anybody in this place that you've wondered who you are? You're just saying, I'm not sure really who I am. I want you to raise your hand where you are. You're not sure who you are. Okay, I see you there. Okay. All right. And is there anybody who wants to say, I want to commit my life to Jesus Christ because I believe that there's not all kinds of truths out there and that I don't decide what the truth is, that there is truth, and it's in Jesus Christ. So is there anybody that wants to say, I want to accept Jesus Christ in my life today? I want you to do that. Just raise your hand. Raise your hand if you would. Okay, I see you back there. I see you back there. Wonderful. Wonderful. I love it. All right. If you mean this prayer that I'm going to pray in a minute, if you mean it and say, God, I want you to come into my life. I want you to know something. You can have all these things I talked about today. You can be a child of God. Okay. So if everybody would repeat after me so that we're all doing this together. Dear Jesus, I want to know you. I would like you to come into my life. I don't always make the best decisions. And I'm confused about some things. But I want to give my life to you today. Because I believe you lived, you died, and you rose again. And I believe you can save me. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So a few people raise their hand today. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Worship team, why don't you come on up? You know, this morning I was thinking about this message today and kind of reading it over. And I thought, there's a lot of things that we can talk about in improving our lives. But realizing who you are as a person is about the most important thing there is. Because it involves knowing who God is. And so, maybe you didn't raise your hand today, but you might be saying, well, I do know who I am, but I'm not really seeking God like I should, and you're reminding me of some things that I, some things I need to be, and when it comes to how I think, when it comes to things I focus on, when it comes to loving other people. And if that's you today, I just want you to know it's a new day. It's a brand new day. There's always that with God. And He loves you so very, very much. Would you stand with me this morning? And we're going to sing a song that really talks about all of this. And so we're going to sing this song to end our service today.